Welcome to the Arena Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. It feels great to be back here again. And if you're here tonight for the first time, you are so welcome here, as it's already been said. But I want to personally say you are so welcome here. And me and my wife, Annie, we run the campus here. We're campus pastors. And if you've got any questions, if you've got any doubts, if you've got any fears, if you've got any needs, come and speak to me. We are here for you. That's what our whole point is. So please don't let that pass by. But I'm so excited today for two reasons. You may know it is Easter Sunday. That is great news. That is something to celebrate. And we also have our first ever baptism service happening. Isn't that awesome? I'm so excited to share this day with Timmy. I really am. And also, you have to know that we saw this day in faith many, many years ago when we launched this campus here. And we've been in some ups and downs over the journey that we've had. But we saw this in faith before anyone was even here, before we had anyone coming, before we'd reached a single soul, before we saw anything, we saw people being baptized. And I am so happy that it is Timmy that is the first fruit of that. But I need you to know something, especially if you're part of Arena Church Nottingham. We aren't just seeing the ones being baptized in faith. We are seeing many, many people being baptized in faith. I believe that with all my heart, that we're going to see people who do not know, who have never had any experience of Christ before, come to know Jesus. And we're seeing that in faith. Is anyone with me? Come on. So today, maybe you could even be interested in being baptized. I wanted to throw that out before we go any further. You've perhaps never been baptized before. Well, today you can sign up. What better day to sign up than Easter Sunday? All you have to do, again, let's embarrass Olivia at the back. Is just go, just behind Olivia, there is a little card that talks about being baptized. Go and fill it out and get in touch about that. It'd be awesome. And if you're new here today, I'm so happy that you have made the decision to be here on a day like today. And my hope is that you can clearly see through this message, and also through the message that Timmy's going to bring, his story, the joy that Jesus brings. That in this message, this celebration that we have, you'll see that Jesus changes lives. He changes lives. And he doesn't change them for the worse. He doesn't make you someone you're not. He changes them for the better. In fact, he changes our lives into who we were designed to be. Who we were designed to be. And what about the decision that Timmy's made today? Timmy's baptism is not a day to celebrate his perfection, although those that know him think he's not far off, in my opinion. He's not far off. It's not a day of Timmy saying, I've got everything together and Jesus has made me perfect and I'm now part of a group of perfect people and I'm ready to try and reach other perfect people. It is not about that at all. Today is about a decision. Today is about an imperfect person making a decision to follow a perfect God. Today is about beginnings. It's a public expression, an outward expression of something that's gone off inside. It's a moment in time that Timmy can say to the world, I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no turning back. In the ups, in the downs, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. When I feel like it, Timmy, and when I don't feel like it, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And we get to celebrate that with Timmy today. I'm so happy. But before we do that, I've got a quick message that I need to share today. It's shorter than normal, and yet my hope is that it leaves something in you as you leave today. And the title of my message is one that we intentionally named. It's something that we got together as the group that do this kind of thing and named it specifically for Easter. And it seems a little bit edgy, but it's so true. And if you forget everything else in this, I want you to remember this title. Are you ready? To hell with death. To hell with death. Repeat after me. Come on. To hell with death. This is the Easter message in four words. And I want to explain that today. Maybe you, like me before I knew Jesus, Easter was just a day that we give and receive a load of chocolate eggs to one another. I never realized the joy of Easter. I never realized what it was really all about. It was something that my grandparents used to force me to come to church to. That's all it was to me. I never quite got why Christians celebrate it. And myself, in the past, has seen it as quite boring and a bit of a religious ceremony. But hopefully, even so far today, you've seen it something completely different. What's the joy and the point of Easter? Well, the joy and the point are in these four words. To hell with death. To hell with death. If you're here tonight and you feel lost, perhaps you feel broken, you feel hopeless, I've got some good news for every one of you. Jesus came and he said, in essence, that four words, to hell with death. If you're here and you feel like you're coasting through life, you feel purposeless and pointless, and in essence, you feel a little bit dead, I've got some good news for you. Jesus said, to hell with death. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 about Jesus, I believe it's going to come on the screen, but if not, please listen. It says, he was despised and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem, but he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, if you need peace today, Jesus brings that. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. Jesus died on that cross, fully human and yet fully God. He physically died. He took all our sins to the grave. That was Good Friday 3 days ago. But today on Easter Sunday, we're here to celebrate the fact that Jesus didn't just take our sins to the grave with him. He didn't just defeat hell and death. He rose again. He succeeded. He finished the work that was needed. And he said, to hell with death. Which means now you and I can live with abundant life, and you can live life in all its fullness. Not just for now, but for eternity too. And this is why we celebrate at Arena Church. It's such good news. And Jesus didn't do all of this with a bad attitude. He actually undertook it fully knowing all that it would hold. And yet it says in his word, Isaiah 53 verse 11, that he did it fully satisfied. He uses those words. He did it fully satisfied. And without Jesus rising from the dead, the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 15:14 that our faith is useless and we're still in our sins. And that's why we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Because I am not dead to my sins any longer. I am a sinful man. Yet I am not dead in my sins any longer because of Jesus. With Jesus rising from the dead, we can know life and life in abundance. And I don't want to assume that everyone's heard this before, so I want to show you a really quick meaning of Easter in three short points. Why did Jesus come in three short points? And perhaps it might help you to write these down. The first point is this. Prior to Jesus, God was inaccessible. Prior to Jesus, God was inaccessible. If you've ever read the Old Testament, you quickly discover that we, average people, had no access to God. This is because God, a perfect God, cannot coexist with sin. He's perfect, he's holy, and he cannot mix with our sin that man brought into the world. So, he had to die instead of us. He was a perfect sacrifice. He died instead of us. And prior to Jesus, God was inaccessible. Secondly, even though he was inaccessible, God wanted all people, and that includes you, God wanted all people to be able to access him. That was his heart's desire. So he said to hell with death. He sent his son to be a perfect sacrifice, because only the blood of a perfect Savior can cause us to access a perfect and holy God. This is a new way to God, a new accessible way to God. Hebrews 10 verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way." It's a new and living way that he opened for us. "And so on the third day he rose again from the dead," and this is Easter Sunday, a new and living way. "Then he returned to heaven with his sinless blood and opened up this new and living way, giving us full access to God himself." Isn't that amazing? I love this quote. It sticks to me every time, by St. Augustine. It says, "The cross was the pulpit that Christ preached his love to the world." Do you know tonight that God loves you? He loves you so much. That's not just a nice little sickly Sid statement. It's truth. He loves you that much that he wanted to be in a relationship with you, and he considered you worth dying for. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is patient with you." I am so thankful for that. The Lord is patient with me, not wanting anyone to perish. If anyone tells you otherwise, point them to the Bible. God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wanted everyone to access him. And therefore, point number three, Jesus is now our high priest. Let me explain. Hebrews 4 verse 15 is a verse that I hold on to very tightly in my weak moments. We all have weak moments. I have plenty. And it says this, for I do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. And I believe wholeheartedly that there is no sustainable way to change except through Jesus. But through Jesus, there is a sustainable way to change, because he has been through it. James 4 verse 6 says, "He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires." And that's because he's been through it. And this is the beautiful reason Christ came to earth, to make the way to God. Permanent access, unlimited forgiveness, solid faith, a great merciful high priest who was both human and divine and can feel our needs. This new life, a new way, has been made possible. This is the joy of Easter Sunday. And as I was preparing to speak today, God took me back to the season of life that I gave my old, hopeless, empty, decrepit life over to him. And he gave me this new life, this new way. I took a moment to remember. I remembered the incredible period of my life in 2012 when I myself, like Timmy, was baptized. I remembered the moment that I was saved, the moment I was forgiven of all my sin. I had so much sin. The moment that I said no to an empty life and said yes to this full life that Jesus gives to me. The moment that I knew all this to be true. And just to speak to those that call themselves Christians here, don't forget. Don't get caught up in the dribs and the drabs of life, but remember that moment. Let's not get caught up in the work of the Lord, but we forget the works of the Lord in our own life. There's this man in, this isn't in my notes at all, there's a man in our Mansfield campus, and he regularly prays. He's an older gentleman, probably around 80, maybe even older, and he regularly prays on our upper Zoom on a Tuesday, Thursday morning. And he always starts his prayers with this one statement, "I remember when." And that gets me every time, because he can still live with his passion because he remembers when it all started. Christians don't forget the moment when it all started. And if we ever forget that moment, we're in a dangerous place. Timmy, remember this day for the rest of your life. Remember what God has saved you from and what he has saved you for. And if you never forget that, you'll never get sidetracked. So I remembered. And for the last few minutes of my message, I felt it prominent on this day to tell you exactly what I remembered. And this is my story of what I remembered. I was brought up in a very stable house. My parents regularly attended church, like many of your parents perhaps. They'd get involved with a lot of things that were happening there. And my parents talked a lot about Jesus. And my head was very full with Bible stories, all those kind of things. And yet my heart was completely empty of God. He was just a talked about idea, not a real person. If I'm honest, he was this ideological leader of a Sunday club that was called the church. Some being that someone had dreamed up in my mind to make our morals better. And fast forward to my college and university years, if I'm honest with you, because of my experience of Jesus, which was very head knowledge based, the world was so, so much more attractive to me. And around the age of 17, as my first year of college, I had a choice. Do I choose the way that my parents had taught me, or do I choose the way of the world? And being the poor decision maker I was at the time, and I chose the path of messing around with girls, smoking. I did a lot of drugs. I drank a lot, and I went clubbing quite often. And I tried everything. I did what I wanted to do. Because knowing about God, this is for somebody, knowing about God got me nowhere. Perhaps today you only know about God. And don't get me wrong, it was very enjoyable. If anyone tells you that partying, drinking and all that kind of stuff is not enjoyable, they're wrong. It's really enjoyable. I used to love it. But yet this fun was very temporal. Somebody said to me a few months later after I gave my life to Jesus, he hit the nail on the head. He said that those things are like being in a slide in a water park. They start on a high, and yet after a very short time, you're right at the bottom, smashing into a pit. And that's what happened. One day, a year or so later, after doing the same thing in and out every single day, every single weekend, should I say, I woke up in my bed in my halls of accommodation in Manchester. I was hungover and I completely crashed. I felt empty. I looked like I had everything together on the outside, but I was so lost. I crashed into this downward spiral. And it was in that moment that I knew I needed a savior. And I knelt beside my bed that day and said, Lord, if you're real, I think I need you. Romans 6 verse 20 says this: as long as you did what you felt like doing, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now, right? Where did it get you? A dead end. This was my life. And after I knelt on the floor next to my bed, I left university. I came home for a bit of a gap year thinking I could get my head sorted out by myself. Still far from God. And in that year, I started a business selling vinyl records and vintage clothes. You wouldn't think that right now looking at me. But strangely, and for my life, unexpectedly, it did really well. And I made quite a lot of money. And I got distracted from God by this. And I may have knelt down and prayed, God, if you're real. But the only real thing to me in that moment was climbing the ladder of success. And again, I came tumbling right down. I resorted again to the very thing I knew didn't satisfy, the very same things as before. And then fast forward to one normal, average Sunday morning. The never average, normal Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings for somebody. During my gap year, looking like I had it all together again, lay in bed, again hungover, stinking like a brewery, And I kept thinking these words. There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this. And in walks my annoying younger brother, just coming home from Arena Church. He had his Bible in hand. He had a smile on his face. But more importantly, he had a joy in his heart. And in the middle of me asking, there's got to be more to life than this, I saw my brother with this joy that I didn't have. And I knew, and I decided, that I would fully go after what he had. Or should I say, who he had? Jesus. I realized in that moment that prior to this, Jesus was simply an idea in the back of my mind, not a savior to my soul. And I came to church. I experienced Jesus for who he really was, a loving savior. And my life changed. God made me who I was designed to be. Listen carefully to what happened, and this can be for you today. He healed me. He made me whole. He put me back together. He gave me a joy the world could never bring, had never brought. He made sense. He gave me purpose. He gave me a reason to live. He told me who I really was. Who I really was. A child of God. A masterpiece. Before I do anything, he is so pleased with me. I had finally found who I was looking for. All those years climbing, and he was there all along. I didn't need to climb. He'd already descended for me. He did what I could never do. The creator of the universe looked down the course of time, realized that he could be receiving praises from the enemy. From the angel. And yet, he saw me. And yet, he saw you. And he considered us worth dying for. He told me, he showed me, it's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give his life for me. I finally found who I was looking for. That verse in Romans 6, made sense to me at the time. It goes on to say this. But now, I'm so thankful for but now. You found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do. In other words, to hell with death. Instead, a whole, healed, put together life right now, with more and more life on the way. Like me, like Timmy, we realize that the only way out of this rat race called life is to stop trying to do it alone. To invite Jesus in. You know, Jesus will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will never give up on you. He never gave up on me. And God has given us his grace, his love, his mercy, not by what we've done to earn it, but because he desires for us to have it. And we don't need to beat ourselves up for our past, even how we are today, or even how we are going to be in the future. But we can receive forgiveness by faith, which simply means when we choose to believe Jesus died in our place for our sins, and therefore we can be in a relationship with a loving Father simply because of this. To hell with the death we used to live. This is why we are so excited about Easter Sunday. This is why this room is full of people celebrating. This is why we make such a big thing of the incredible work Jesus did for you and me on the cross 2,000 years later. To hell with death. Jesus wants to give you and I life, with more and more life on the way. And I wonder where you are at today. Honestly. Where are you at today? Before we hear Timmy's story, the real resurrection life that came to Timmy, where are you today? I know there's people in here, I knew it. I knew God was speaking to me about this to give to you. That know of God. You have got so much head knowledge about God, but you don't know him. You don't know him. He's not here. He's not a savior to you. Perhaps you're stuck in the old way of life, the hard, service of sin? Or do you know the new way that God has opened up for you? And today perhaps you can make the incredible decision to accept the finished work of Jesus on Easter Sunday. Perhaps you can remember the works that he has done for you. And perhaps today you can say, to hell with death. Jesus, give me your life. Romans 10, verse 10 to 11, shows us what we need to do in this moment. It says, with your whole being, embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. This is the Bible. No one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. Like Timmy, like me, like many of us around this room today, you will not regret following this incredible Saviour. And he can allow you and help you to live free, to live forgiven, and to live forever. Let's pray. Let's pray.